Hi, welcome to Accelerating Success. My name is Penny Zanker and I'm the host of this show. We host great authors, business leaders, and entrepreneurs to get to the real issues of how you can accelerate your success. Today we're going to talk about an important issue which a lot of people are talking about, and it's millennials, how to work with the generations. And I have here an expert in this space, generational expert, Carol Hatton Holmes, and she's going to she's from Generational Connections, and she is going to bring us some really valuable insights and really understand how these people work, these young people. How do they work? How do we get the generations to work together? Welcome, Carol. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Penny. Welcome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So how did you get involved in generational issues? I mean, that's kind of a, you know, not something every day that people get involved in.
Well, that's true. I was in technology sales for many years, and after doing that for 20 some years, I decided that was really not something I wanted to stay doing. I wanted to have my own business. So I started working with college graduates, millennials, who were coming out of school, needed to understand about their brand, their presence, you know, how could they improve themselves when interviewing. And then I ran into a woman who was doing some life coaching, and she was talking to the other end of the spectrum, the CEOs of the companies who were having issues with the millennials.
Right, pulling their hair out. Like, how do I deal with these people?
And so we got together and realized that this was really a big issue. Yeah. So I was understanding it from the millennial side. She was understanding it from the corporation side. So that's how we formed Generational Connection.
Well, that's a great fit, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's part of the challenge, is that the two groups or the different generations are having trouble understanding each other. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And you know, you hear all the what we call millennial bashing from people.
Right.
You know, oh my gosh, you know, they come in and they're entitled and they want to take 3 weeks off to go to a hike in Peru and,
right,
you know,
they're lazy, all those things that they say. So is that true? Are they?
No, they really aren't. But I think that's they're different. And I will say that they are different. And so it's, instead of looking at what is wrong and how, you know, how the bad traits, you know, what we try to do with organizations is say, how can you look at the good traits? They have wonderfully good traits.
Right, we're so good at that, aren't we? We're so good at focusing on what we don't want or the bad things, and that deletes all the good things, right?
Right. And you know, if you want to say they're entitled, well, you know, that they said that about baby boomers.
Right, so, I read that too. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's looking at how can we look at their good traits?
Right.
How can we communicate better? What can we do to try to influence the workplace to make it a engaging, fun place to be?
Right.
You know, so that everybody can get along and work together.
Well, let's start by understanding, so how are they different?
Well, they're raised differently, first of all. Let's just put that out there.
Right.
Raised very differently. You know, everything was positively rewarded, which is not necessarily a bad thing, except that everything was positively rewarded. So, you know, they grew up thinking that that everything should be rewarded.
Ah.
So, you know, having an annual review, let's say, does not work for a millennial. Because
right, because there's not enough feedback, right?
They need more, not necessarily instantaneous feedback, but feedback on a more regular basis.
Right.
And looking at, you know, they're very goal-oriented. How can I, if I start here, how can I be here in, you know, 2 years or a year, and what's my path to do that? Whereas, you know, traditionally before people would go into a workplace, you get a job and you go, oh, well, you know, I would like to be, you know, a director in 5 years. And you just kind of, you know, did your job and hoped that that was what was going to end up and told your manager that's what you wanted to do.
Okay.
But millennials really need to see a path.
They need to see the path.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So are they more visionary, would you say? Or when you say goal-oriented, like, you know, is it more long-term or is it more short-term? You notice the difference there?
Yeah, more short-term.
More short-term.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just read a study that Deloitte did that said that leadership opportunities are becoming more important to a millennial in the workplace than actually more money. So they want leadership opportunities. They want to be able to see that that's something they're going to be able to do.
Right. You know, something that I think we've talked about in the past and that I've seen in terms of studies is that millennials tend to be, from my understanding, more more passionate about topics. Like, they need to know why. Like, isn't, I read somewhere that, so when they're asking why, it's being interpreted by older generations as though, just do it, right? Like, right. Don't ask why, just do it. But they want to connect with it. Is that, tell us more about how that can be harnessed in the workplace.
Well, the term that they use today is called transparency. So they want everything to be transparent. So when there are issues going on with the company, they would like to know about them. You know, it's all, I think knowledge is power. So the more mm-hmm. that people know, not just millennials, the more the people in the company know what's going on, instead of, you know, if you're having some issues, financial issues, instead of all of a sudden one Friday saying, okay, here's your things left and you have to go. You know, if people know that and they can work with that, I think it just makes it a lot better place to be. I was talking to a woman a couple weeks ago at a company, and it was astounding to me that she's in charge of talent development, and they're looking for a VP of human resources. And this woman has not even been in on any of the conversations about who the upper executives are looking at for that position. And I thought, that's not the way millennials like to operate today.
Right.
They need to know what's going on and how can I help and what can I do. And, you know, so it's the word transparency of knowing what's going on. I think traditionally older generations were, they were just used to not knowing and just doing their job. And, you know, that was the executive level information. But now it's got to trickle down in order for millennials to really feel part of the team.
Okay, great. You know, before we go to the break, we're talking about the different generations. Maybe you can just give an overview of you know, there's, I understand, like five different generations in the workplace right now, which is, you know, a big deal. What are the different generations and maybe a characteristic that that we can understand about them?
Okay, well, the older generations in the workplace are what we call the veterans, World War II, the greatest generation, and they were born before 1945. The baby boomers were born 1946 to 1960. The Gen Xers are 61 to 80. Mm-hmm. Millennials are 80 to 2000. And then we have a new generation called iGen, Gen Z. You know, they haven't really landed on a name yet. And they're born after 2000.
Okay.
So obviously they're entering the workplace because at this point they're 16 and in some cases in the workplace.
Right.
So those are the different generations. Characteristics, you know, World War II, greatest generation, they're very loyal, you know, very proper, expect proper English.
Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers are loyal, like communication, but are more likely to stay at a company for, a longer period of time.
Okay.
And like person-to-person communication. You know, they do email and texting, but prefer a voicemail or person-to-person communication.
Right.
Gen X, they're very independent, also known as the latchkey kids. So they grew up with, you know, parents working, coming home, being very independent.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a different way of thinking of, you know, they would rather be given a project, go off, finish it, and come back. And then the millennials are very collaborative. You know, they want to work together as a team. And so, you know, when you look at all those things, when you're putting a team together, it's important to understand the different generations, to
Definitely.
Know how can I deal with different generations on that team, and maybe I'll treat the Gen Xer a little bit differently and not expect them to be at a meeting every Friday morning.
Right, and how to communicate with them, right?
Exactly.
So we're going to go to a break. So stay tuned so we can find out more about how these generations can work together. We'll see you in a moment.
When it comes to injuries,
they're not all created equal.
That's why at Performance Spine and Sports Medicine,
our team of doctors will coordinate and customize your care
to provide the best treatment options using the area's most advanced medical technology.
All with one goal in mind.
To get you back in the game.
We call life.
Pain-free.
Drug-free.
Surgery free. That's what we do here at Performance Spine and Sports Medicine.
Get better faster.
Stay better longer.
Where bankers have lost all interest. Where robots and fat cats rule our fortunes. One woman.
Hi.
Will stand up and strive to do the impossible. be treated like a person. Friends and neighbors will join her quest. Ordinary people will band together against the forces of corporate greed. And together, they will form Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, already in a neighborhood.
Today's show has been sponsored by More Than Gifts. Come see our new location in Marlton, New Jersey. Not just gifts, but more.
Welcome back to Accelerating Success. I'm your host, Penny Zenker, and we're here today talking about the generationals. Carol Hatton Holmes is with us talking about, she's from Generational Connections. Couldn't be a better, you know, a better title, right, is how the generations connect. In the first segment of the show, we talked a little bit about the difference of what millennials are about and the different generations. And right now, we're coming back to talking about communication. So we said, you know, there's all those different styles and ways that the generations express themselves. So how do they communicate together? Like, what are some tips on how you can better communicate with millennials?
Well, you know, it's a challenge because millennials are, again, so different, and they're so, people call them digital natives, but the new terminology is digitally dependent.
I think we're all digitally dependent.
So
I don't know about
that's just millennials.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's another show about addiction all in itself. So that describes them.
Right. And we're writing a column now for the Philadelphia Business Journal, and it's called Dear Gen E, G-E-N-E, or Ask Gen E.
Right.
And so what we do is we take situations of real clients that have come to us with, you know, these are my issues and how do I solve them.
Right.
So one of them that's really prevalent to the question that you just asked was, we had a gentleman who was in his 40s, 45, so we would say he was a baby boomer, and he had gotten a new boss who was a millennial. And so trying to communicate was a real challenge. You know, he would get text messages from her, you know, with the H-A-G-D and O-M-G, and, you know, he was like, I don't understand what this means. Like, what is this?
Right.
And, you know, why can't she just leave me a voicemail message? That's really how I would like her to communicate with me.
Right.
So our answer back to him was, unfortunately, if that's the way your boss wants to communicate with you, you're going to have to learn how to text and communicate with her. But it's really, really important to have the conversation about how you would like to be communicated to. And if you would prefer a voicemail or an email, you really need to tell her that is your preferred style of communication. And I think what our message to the companies that we work with is that you really need to learn to communicate to the person how they want to be communicated to. You know, we all grew up with the golden rule, do unto others as others would do unto you. That's not how it works.
So it's not communicate unto others as
you. No, that is not how it works today. It's how does that person want to be communicated to?
It brings up a really important point, because how often do people, I mean, think about it, in any relationship, for a successful relationship, it's all about communication.
Right.
And unless you have a conversation up front to understand somebody's communication styles and to kind of come up with an understanding of how you're going to communicate together, right? Married couples do it, right? They have this thing, the different profiles of your love language, so that you can understand, this is the way I want you to love me. And,
right.
And so I think they should develop something like that, you know, or at least have that type of communication as a standard. Regardless of the generations, right? Because even among the same generations, they may have different preferences in how they communicate, so I think it's a great point.
Yeah, and I think that should be a question when a manager meets with their, you know, someone who's working with them. How do you want to be communicated to? And do that, not just because I like to text and I'm going to text you,
right?
Because that's not respecting the other person's need for that way to communicate.
Right. You kind of have to meet in the middle, right?
Right.
And communicate in both ways so that both parties can feel like their needs are being met. But
right.
Certainly as a manager, right, if you're a leader, that's really upon your role to make sure that you're communicating and getting the best out of your staff.
Exactly. So I think that was, you know, to your point of that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, the other way around, if you're a baby boomer and you've got millennials on staff and you want to communicate with them, well then, you know, if their preference is texting, that you're going to really have to learn how to do that to be able to get them to work
right
better with you and engage them.
Right. What are some other communication tips, you know, or challenges that you've seen between the generations?
Well, the other thing I hear all the time is, you know, baby boomer wants to leave a voicemail message for a millennial. Well, millennials, and I would probably say Gen Xers, they don't even have a message on their voicemail box. It's just the generic, you know, you know, the supplier message, right?
Right.
And they're not going to listen. The chances of them hearing that voicemail in a timely manner is probably not very good because they don't listen to their voicemail.
If at all. Right. I had a client that I was working with. He was a millennial, still is a millennial. And he absolutely would not respond or listen to any voicemail. It was almost like he couldn't, right?
Right.
And so we purposefully put a message on his voicemail that told people, because that was the missing gap of communication, is he wasn't setting people's expectations. So if somebody left a message, they would expect to get an answer. Mm-hmm. So we left a message on his voicemail that said, "I'm sorry, I don't listen to my voicemails. Please send me a text with your message."
And that's a great way to handle that.
Right. Or what we also talked about was there are tools that will automatically take whatever voice message is there and send it to you by text. So we have to find ways, right, to work around and know ourselves, right? If you are a millennial or any of those generations and you have a specific way of communicating, how can you set up your environment so you can still communicate effectively with others, right?
Exactly. And that, like I said, that was a great way to handle that instead of nothing,
right.
You know, leaving the message and then never getting a return call.
Right.
And I love when I go to, you know, this subject of generations and communications is a very emotionally charged subject.
It is, yeah.
And when you're in a meeting or you're talking to people, a large group of people, mm-hmm. they get very, depending on their age, mm-hmm. and, you know, first of all, the millennials get very upset because they don't like all the stereotypes that people
Absolutely.
Put on them. They say, "Don't call me a millennial. I don't want to be that because that has associations with it."
Right.
But then there's other people who are in the meeting that say, "Well, you know, if I'm going to leave them a voicemail message, they should at least have the respect to call me back." So, you know, it gets very emotional. And I think
yeah.
if you understand how different generations like to communicate, then there's not that expectation that, oh, I should expect to leave a voicemail and I expect them to call me back.
Right. I want to bring up that point you just said about that it gets emotional, right? And there's a lot of expectations. What I think is interesting about that is when we get emotional, it's because we feel that we take it personally,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what if we took that element out, right, in the workplace and really understood this is not personal. These are personality traits of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is not me not calling you back because I don't want to talk to you. It's a personality trait. And I wonder if people could just take a step back and not take it personally, that they might be able to better understand that these are just personality traits and how to work with them. What do you think about that? Do you do any training around that?
Oh, absolutely. We are DISC certified, which is a personality profile.
Right.
And it's really fun. It's called Taking Flight. It matches up the personality profiles to birds. So the D is an eagle, the I is a parrot, the C is a dove, and the S is an owl.
Right.
And it's invaluable to understand those
it
traits
really is.
Because and I think it would be wonderful if companies could actually or colleges if they could do it at a university level before these students graduated to give them a personality profile of some
yeah.
sort so they understand when they get into the workplace, oh well, that person is a dove, so I need to talk to them differently,
right.
Not only generationally but personality, because if I go in, you know, as an eagle and you know, bulldoze, they're not going to hear what I'm saying.
Right.
So I think understanding both the generations and the personalities together is just such a powerful combination.
Absolutely, right? It should be required. I agree, because then you know what your strengths are, you know how to interact with people, and it gives you an infrastructure, again, not to take it personally. Because I think when we take things personally, then it, you know, and the emotion comes in, then we actually lose access to our executive function, to the part of us that's logical, right?
Right.
And so I think that's a great great suggestion. So we're gonna take a break right now, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about how to engage the millennials in the workplace.
Great.
Solano Community College transformed my life
and gave me the opportunities I needed to succeed.
I received the same university caliber education
without the pressures of debt holding me back. Affordable and flexible, I fulfilled my undergraduate classes.
Getting to the information I truly have a passion for.
The decision to attend SCC empowered my future
and made my dream of attending Yale University a reality. Solano Community College, the educated choice.
When it's time for Jersey Mike's to make a really great sub, this is what we do. It's what we've been doing. It's what we've always done. It's what we'll always do. So what are you doing? Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Today's show has been sponsored by Farmers Insurance in Voorhees, New Jersey. To protect your assets and the people you love, call Mike Skoranek, your local Farmers Insurance agent, at 856-336-2553.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to Accelerating Success. I'm your host, Penny Zanker. We're talking about millennials, generational connections. Carol Hatton Holmes is here with us, and we're having a really exciting conversation around communication and the millennials, the generations. So in this segment, what I really want to talk about is engagement, right? There's all this talk about millennials being lazy, and I've even heard from some millennials that they think other millennials are lazy. So It's very interesting, but I know that this is, you know, anybody can be lazy. So the real key is, you know, how do leaders today who are bringing in new generations, how do they engage millennials, and how is it different? So how do they engage them, and how is that different from other generations?
Well, as we talked about earlier, you know, the assessment or the annual review, it has to go out the window for the millennials. They have to be given, you know, their reinforcement, their or their criticism, whatever it may be, you know, on a more regular basis.
So it's not that it's the annual review. So it needs to be like a quarterly review, or is monthly better? Like, what's the best, you know, time frame for that feedback?
If you could do monthly, it would be great if you could do that.
Now let me ask you a question, because I think all people thrive better on getting feedback on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really different about the millennials that, you know, that kind of demand it versus, right? Because I'd rather have monthly feedback. I mean, I'd be much better. I think anybody is better with their performance when they understand and course correct on a monthly basis versus, you know, I can't course correct until the end of the year. So how does that differ?
Well, I think the word you used in there, the internal, was demand it. They really are demanding it. And other generations, what the millennials want really isn't any different than what anybody else wants.
Right.
It's just that they're a lot more vocal about want demanding it,
right.
and it's the importance of having it. So, you know, it's things like, you know, a monthly review.
Right.
It's things like being more transparent. It's things like flexible work schedules. Who doesn't love a flexible work schedule? Right? I mean, those are all things that I think everybody wants, but was always afraid to say, oh, I need to do that. But millennials are more vocal in it's saying, that's what I want.
You know, it's interesting, you said in the beginning that one of the big differences is the way that they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
So probably the reason that they're more vocal is because of the way that they were raised, right? And having more open discussions and feedback. Their parents probably didn't tell them, do that because I told you to.
Exactly.
Right? They go into this long description about why they need to do it. And so that's why they're looking for that engagement, like why, and things like that. It's interesting.
Well, do you think too about the dynamics of parents with millennials? Most millennials are best friends with their parents. And in older generations, like you are a parent and you are a child. There is a definite role between a parent and a child.
Which I believe there should be. And but I hear you. I mean, it definitely plays a different role into the way that their personalities develop.
Right, and that plays in the workplace as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think those are all things that an engaging millennials. The other thing millennials really like is community activities, civic activities.
Mm.
So engaging, say, you know, let's do a project. Who has a, you know, a charity that they really like? Let's do a project around that charity, right? So, you know,
to get them involved in charitable contributions as part of the workplace.
Exactly.
Is something that would really help to engage and drive them more.
Right. And also, you know, having, if that project could have something to do with, you know, sustainability and green, or, you know, they're all about that,
right,
in our society and making the society a better place to be.
Right.
So those are all things that companies can do to try to engage millennials.
Right, and I'm sure there's a lot more things. We only have a short segment to cover today. So what I'd like you to do now is maybe give people an opportunity that they can find out how to get more information about you and Generational Connections, so that if they want to dive deeper, they can do that.
Okay, great. And, you know, our name is Generational Connections, but it has a little bit of a twist on the spelling. So our website is www.generationalconnections.com, but that's spelled G-E-N-E-R, the number 8, T-I-O-N-A-L, connections.com. So it's a little bit of a twist on Generational Connections, but that's our website. We have all our products and services on there. You could also email me at carol@generationalconnections.com, and that's G-E-N-E-R, the number 8, T-I-O-N-A-L, connections.com, to find out more about how we can help your corporation with communications with the millennials, with all generations, how we might be able to help you engage more with the generations or engage with the millennials. So please, I welcome you to visit our website or send me an email, and I'll certainly get back to you with some more information.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, Carol. This was awesome.
Thank you, Penny. And you didn't note that we actually wore the same
color. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, right? We sent the memo ahead of time that we wore orange. I know you're all wearing orange, too, out there. So, because it's Orange Day, we've just declared it Orange Day. So, anyway, thank you all for being here. This was an amazing show talking about important issues to help you accelerate your success and your business. So join us next week as we talk to more great authors, business leaders, and entrepreneurs that are going to help you to accelerate your success. This is Penny Zanker. We'll see you next week.